Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Final hour of the day and final hour of the show for the week. And coming up in this half hour, Cam Meller, Pro Football Focus, will go through the grades as only Cam can, not only for Penn State, but for Michigan State and some national grades as well. This being Friday, you need to stock up for the weekend. And we are so proud to have Brewers Outlet with us every Friday. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, and yes, I know Buhner's partially garlic, but the pickle bar led by the barrels of the dills all together now. Yes, you in Turbotville, right? You in Mifflinburg listening right now, all right? You know what to do. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we are in the Sunbury Motor Studio, best in the business. All right, you want great deals, you want great product, and you also want to deal with great people. They have the best sales staff, the best service department, the best product indeed. That is all Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right, let's get to our play-by-play call of the day. Yeah, Kirk Cousins, hot right now. 23 of his last 26 last night. 23 of 26 for Kirk Cousins last night. The Vikings winning their fourth in a row on a night where Adrian Peterson returned to Minneapolis and received a tremendous welcome that brought him to tears. It was the guy that essentially replaced him, Dalvin Cook, who had a big night, including this touchdown.
Tight ends to the left. That is Rudolph. Inside handoff, Cook gets hit and spins, and he is stopped. He is stopped short of the goal line.
He's in.
Oh, a late indication. It is a touchdown. That was very close.
Kapke was in there.
Just got it across. Late call by the referee. And with 7 seconds to go, the Vikings with the game's first touchdown.
And won the game 19-9. Larry Michael with the call on the Redskins radio network last night. Yes, that was Troy Apke that was trying to stop him at the goal line last night. But again, a big win for the Vikings, who have now won four in a row, beating the Redskins 19-9. Also last night, SMU stayed perfect. They held off Houston 34-30. Houston hit a late touchdown, a 96-yard touchdown pass last night, and a two-point conversion to then make it closer. But SMU won it 34-30. Shane Buechel had two touchdown passes last night, threw for 203 yards. Xavier Jones ran for two touchdowns last night. Penn State football tomorrow at Michigan State. Kickoff 3:30. We're on beginning at 2 o'clock. High school football tonight, including Shikellamy hosting Milton. That will be at 7 tonight, 6:30 the airtime, with our award winner, Kevin Herr, along with Dave Ritchie with the call on 100.9 The Valley. It's the Little Brown Jug game tonight, Lewisburg and Mifflinburg. And also tonight on Eagle 107, it'll be Sealands Grove against Montoursville. All right, we also have coming up this weekend as well, we've got Bucknell football. Yeah, looking forward to that. All right, well, they have Lafayette this week. They're playing at Lafayette, and Kevin will be with Doug Birdsong on that game on Eagle 107. All right, let's get to Cam Meller, Pro Football Focus. He has all the grades. Cam, it is always a pleasure to have you with us. Welcome back.
I am great, Steve. How are you doing? That's the real question.
I'm doing really well. Thanks so much for asking. Let's start with KJ Hamler. You've been high on him since day one. You see the game that he had on Saturday night. What were some of the elements that went into what we saw?
I think it's a continuation of what we've seen kind of, you know, all season long. He's being targeted decently far down the field, 10, 11 yards, but it's the after the catch ability. He didn't get to showcase too much of it because you know, Michigan's got pretty sticky corners. They've got pretty good defensive backs across the board, but his ability to separate at the line of scrimmage, but also at the top of his breaks on his routes, it's almost second to none. And for him to be doing it over the middle of the field where you have to contend with a multitude of different kind of skilled players, that's really what stands out to me, is that he could beat a linebacker with speed. He could beat a defensive back or a corner or a coverage safety with you know, a slick cut. So it's kind of he's a wide arsenal of moves to utilize, and he utilizes them all very well.
All right, people want to see players improve as they go, especially, quote, their quarterback along the way. So when you look at Sean Clifford, are the numbers showing you that there is improvement, at least grade-wise, with what you're seeing?
Yeah, we've seen him. You know, he hasn't quite reached the highs that we saw in the limited sample last year that made me call him Sean Big Time Throw Clifford. but it's happening so far where we've seen them increase. Obviously, his best game is against Buffalo. That's from a statistical standpoint, from a grading standpoint.
Sure.
But it's kind of, it seems he took a step back, Pittsburgh, but then they've been slowly increasing and increasing in facets that you want to see him increase as you face these tougher defenses. So his passing grade continues to get a little bit better each time. The mistakes aren't nearly as bad or as big as you would hope. They start to, you know, alleviate. They don't become as game-changing in terms of those mistakes. So, you know, no interceptions since the Purdue game, 22 all season. He's only got a handful of turnover-worthy plays. So it's kind of more of the same. It's more of this this decently safe brand of football. Well, he picks his shots, but he's been able to – it seems like he's diagnosing the defenses a little bit quicker as the season progresses, and he's able to take those shots a little bit more frequently.
All right, so let's flip it to the other side for a moment, and that is Brian Lewerke, who is now in his third year as a starter. What are the grades telling you about what Lewerke has done?
So he's a guy, he's so interesting to me because I've actually followed him from his high school career out in Arizona – all the way up here, and I was pretty decently high on him.
Yep.
Coming out of high school, I thought this was going to be, you know, Michigan State's kind of chance to contend with the big dogs, and all he did was kind of fall flat on his face for the past few years. This year, he started off pretty hot, but it's turned into one of those, you know, he's got a few more of those Brian Lewerke games in him recently, and that's kind of been the staple of his career. He can't stay consistent, and that's still what we've seen so far this season, is that, you know, in an era of football in which you need consistent grades and consistent good quarterback play, they are not getting quite enough from him to warrant him being on any sort of list of top five, top 10 quarterbacks almost in the conference.
Okay, so what has he struggled with? And conversely, where has he at least had an element of consistency?
It's been out downfield. We've never really seen him as a downfield passer.
Yep.
Previously, and when he has done those, it's been kind of ugly and pretty sloppy, and just like everything else we've seen. So right now, it's a complete different situation for him this season. He's done very well downfield. He's not made any mistakes, any interceptions on passes targeted 20 or more yards down the field, and we've seen him with three of those touchdowns on these deep balls, we call them. So he's grading very high in that aspect, but it's the short intermediate passing game that he's really seen those inconsistencies struggle, where, you know, he's made boneheaded decisions across the middle of the field, some pretty ugly interceptions. But all in all, it's still been a better year for him than we've seen in his entire career.
All right, so Cam, I want to take it now to Penn State's defensive side of the ball. Cam Brown, the veteran, true senior. Micah Parsons, true sophomore. What are you seeing from the two of them?
So, it's Cam Brown. He doesn't have the best game this past weekend, but honestly, that game was such a slugfest that it's almost like nobody really had truly a stand-up performance outside of maybe Hamler. But Brown's a guy who is a sure tackler, at least in our books. And a lot of people do tackles a little bit differently than we do here.
Yep.
We give credit for the first tackler, not necessarily the guys who pile on. So, Cam Brown's, you know, this guy.
We always refer to them as JOPs, jump on pile.
Yes, jump on pile. You know, I think if we had that stat, we could add it in there. It'd be a little back-end one, because anybody that's done any sort of data collection for us knows we do tackles a little different. Anybody who's got, you see these gaudy stat totals for tackles out there, and they're morbidly different than what we have. So that's more or less Cam Brown's name of the game, sure tackling. And then, you know, Parsons, we've seen it now multiple years. You ask the guy to do anything, and he's going to do it super well. He's grading, you know, decently in coverage this year, not as good as he did last year, but, you know, being tasked to rush the passer a little bit more already this year than he did all of last season, and he's doing it very well. So we have him with four additional quarterback hits. So that's putting the quarterback on his backside, you know, not getting credit for a sack for it. But, you know, he's getting pressure when he's asked to do so. He's dropping back into coverage decently, and he's sticking his nose in run defense as well. So he's kind of this three down sort of anywhere you want to put him on defense, he's going to give you some plus grades.
All right, so Cam, now let's go to the Michigan State defensive side of the ball. I'll start with their middle linebacker, Joe Bocci. What stands out to you about him?
So honestly, for him, it's everything. But Bocci's been, for the past two seasons and then up to including this one as well, he's been kind of, I don't want to say the best run defending linebacker in all of college football, but that's kind of who he is, and that's his name of the game. It's not necessarily the most important factor in all of college football or football in that general area, but, I mean, the dude flies around to the football. He's making tackles, I think, within 2 yards of the line of scrimmage for the most part. That's his average depth of tackle. So that's a top figure across the country.
Yeah.
It's just that's been his MO. It's just a swarm to the football kind of guy, and, you know, in run defense, he really shines.
Right, a guy that had a lot of pub coming in. Look, this guy wasn't recruited by anybody. He had to walk on. That's Kenny Willekes. He had to walk on. Well, as a walk-on, he's developed himself into a really good college football player. But what kind of year is he having this year? Because statistically, it's not off the charts.
Yeah, and statistically and not off the charts. Our grades, it's not really off the charts from what we've seen of him. In a conference in which, you know, you're fighting to be the second best defensive end or edge defender in the conference behind Chase Young. 4 sacks, 3 hits, 14 hurries isn't going to do it for you, especially when at this point last season, I think he had well into the 40s in terms of total pressures. So he's got about half that this season. He has limited his missed tackles. So, you know, we're seeing plus grades for him when he gets his hands on the ball carriers, but you know, it's pass rush is not anywhere near where he was last year. That's no discredit to him. Right. I think what we saw last year was just this remarkable improvement from year one to last season to now. It's kind of we're regressing a little bit back towards the mean.
Sure.
For him this year. It's kind of, you know, maybe again, it's situation like Chase Young is that he's getting by on reputation right now as well, where offenses are scheming around it because they do know that he's going to get pressure no matter what.
Right. Nationally, we've already talked about Sam Ellinger with Texas. Well, the guy he beat out was Shane Buechele. He'll be playing tonight when Houston takes on SMU, and SMU's undefeated. So what do the grades tell you about Shane Buechele?
It just truly showcases why he was a highly sought-after kid in high school and why he was a Texas commit and a highly recruited player for the Longhorns and a guy that could push Sam Ellinger. I mean, so Ellinger took 2 years to officially kick him out of school, basically, or kick him out of Texas to take the job from him. So he's showing that, and that's why. He hits every level of the field, and he hits it very well. I mean, I think everybody knew that Reggie Roberson and James Prochet were great receivers, but Buechele actually getting them the ball. And again, Ben Hicks was a great quarterback for SMU, too. He's now at Arkansas. But Buechele is significantly better than Ben Hicks is. And it's proving it. When you get the ball to these guys like Roberson and Prochet on the outside, it's pretty remarkable to see what this offense can do. And I think they're just now starting to kind of click on a defensive side of things as well. So this could be a 12-0, 13-0 AAC champion that pushes for a New Year's Six Bowl, kind of like UCF did a few years ago.
Right. All right. So now let's get to Justin Herbert out of Oregon. Many have said that something that was missing in his career was, quote, that signature win. Adorable term, but still, I'm just using the term that they use. They won at Washington last week. Good win. Where is he right now? Because some people say he's a top five NFL pick. Some people say he's not. What are the grades telling you?
You know, we're a little confused with Mr. Herbert. He's always been a great quarterback in our system. I mean, we have a full level of data that we don't really have from a lot of players in terms of 4 years of starting essentially for him.
Right.
And all with well above average grades. And it's kind of, he took a step back last year. He had a lot of drop passes, obviously that hurt. But that's where the grades kind of showcase that he was still an accurate kid. He's still an accurate quarterback, took something off. This year, he's kind of reverting back to those 2017 levels of elite level play. He's got an elite passing grade right now. Unfortunately, we've slid him down to quarterback 3 on our list behind Tua and then the skyrocketing Joe Burrow, obviously, but still our third quarterback, and then in a quarterback-driven NFL draft and NFL league, we're still looking at a top 15 kind of guy or top 20 kind of guy for him in our book still. But if he has another game like he's had the past 2 weeks, you know, I definitely see him creeping back into that QB2 kind of situation right behind Tua or competing with Tua for that nod behind Burrow.
What about the guy he faced last week in Eason, who's another one of those Georgia transfers who now are populating Ohio State, and they're populating, obviously, Washington. How's he been?
So, Eason, he's been a tale of two halves. But it's more so a tale of two different games. He's got great games, and he's got a couple of duds. And not coincidentally, those duds are the games that they lost. You know, the Cal game is his worst game that he's played all season long. It's actually the worst game that he started in that we have grades for. So it's kind of when he goes, he's making that Washington offense go, and then he's making that whole team go. He didn't outgrade Herbert last week, but obviously outdueled them, or he outgraded them, but didn't outduel them in terms of statistics. So he was, you know, very much on par against what I think is probably one of the more underrated secondaries in all of college football, and that's the Ducks, led by a couple of guys who are some stout coverage guys on the back end. So Eason picked apart, who I think has a couple of NFL draft picks, and probably a good example of, you know, why you don't look at general box score wins and losses when you're scouting guys.
All right. You mentioned underrated. Okay, great term, because I want to get – give me two quarterbacks you think are underrated because the grades tell you they shouldn't be.
Oh, man, I think you have to look at Shane Buechele, actually. Yeah. I know he's getting all
That's why I brought him up, because I think he is.
Yeah. So it's him, honestly, as probably the top in that regard, just because he doesn't necessarily get the pub being at SMU. And he probably knew that when he transferred there, but he's going home. Sure. He's making noise now. I really like it. Who I really like, though, and maybe he does get it, and we're kind of out of the loop because we've been talking about him so long, but Tyler Johnston at UAB. Our lead draft guy called him a gunslinging SOB in his draft guide right up on it. It's boom or bust with him, but it's more boom than bust because he's leading the entire country in terms of downfield throws. He's leading a deep passing yards, deep touchdowns, our big-time throws. Realistically, if you just watch Tyler Johnston, you're going to see about six or seven deep passes that are just beautifully thrown on a rope, perfectly placed to his wide receivers. So he's a guy who I think needs a lot more national attention.
Okay, let me throw one out there. I know I was going to talk more about him in 2 weeks anyway, but what about Tanner Morgan of Minnesota?
I just tweeted this actually as well. He's the highest graded Big Ten quarterback in the second half.
Right.
So he's leading in touchdowns, leading in yards, leading in big time throws. He's got no interceptions and six touchdowns. So honestly, I really like what he's been able to do. I think he needs to maintain consistency because we saw it in that Purdue game where he was 21 of 22, and then he followed it up with a kind of a slower game with some slow, inconsistent passes and inaccuracies. So I think he needs to, as long as he starts strong, he'll then finish strong. We know that. So I really like what he's been able to do. And, you know, he's got probably a top five trio of receivers and Ottman, Bell, Bateman, and Tyler Johnson.
Right, exactly. All right. This is a blast every week. I mean, we get so much reaction out of this. Thanks so much for the time you're giving us. It's been great.
It is truly my pleasure and an honor to be on.
All right. Thanks, Cam, so much.
As always, thank you.
Cam Miller, Pro Football Focus with all the grades. Well, you look at college football. Yesterday when Kevin was on with us and Sean, Kevin, and I were picking games, and one thing that we talked about right away is that right now there are some really good games this weekend, but after that, after the really, quote, big games, it's nondescript. And when you look at, Penn State, Michigan State, big game. Michigan, Notre Dame, big game. Ohio State, Wisconsin, big game. And then after that, we were scrambling to find another game, and we looked at finally Iowa State, Oklahoma State, which is a really good game, but not a national impact game. But it just took us a little while to really find games. Next weekend is going to be tougher. Penn State, of course, has a bye week, but Penn State is not the only team that has a bye week next week. There are a lot of bye weeks next week, heading into the first weekend of November. So next week, we're really going to be scratching to get the games that we want on. We were talking about scheduling earlier, and I know Will Tiemann and I are going to touch on this in the next half hour. But, you know, I look at what the Big Ten does, and Penn State's playing Michigan State now, which is fine. But Penn State and Michigan State should be playing the last weekend of the season. They started doing that in 1993. They did it all the way up to 2011. And the game was really gaining traction in that spot. And you look at the final weekend of the season in the Big Ten, you know you're going to have Ohio State and Michigan at noon. But you can own the day by having Penn State and Michigan State at 3:30 on that day. And then you would have Maryland, Rutgers. You'd have Indiana playing Purdue, the old Oak and Bucket game. Illinois playing Northwestern. The Friday game between Iowa and Nebraska. And you would have Wisconsin taking on Minnesota. What's wrong with that setup? I think it sets up a big weekend for everybody. And you can do the same thing in basketball. Last year, Michigan and Michigan State closed out the season in basketball against each other. Tom Izzo loved it. Hey, Penn State could close out with Ohio State. Maryland could close out with Rutgers. You can do the same thing in basketball. Oh, well. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Back with the final half hour in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Final hour of the show. Great to have you with us on this Friday. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels of the dills, even though Buhner's partial to garlic. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Hey, we're also getting to the point where you have to start thinking about Brewers Outlet gift cards with the holidays coming up. And when it comes to buying a car, there is no other choice. It is Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Best product, best sales staff, best service department. You want to deal with the best. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. My old friend, longtime friend. I was on his show, in fact, this morning. Will Thiemann. Play-by-play voice of Michigan State basketball, called many a Final Four in his career, and also was the third member of their football team. Will, welcome. Always great to hear you on the other end, my friend.
Well, Steve, I'm good. There's some sadness here in basketball land. It's weird, and you know this as well as anybody. You go from, oh, man, number one preseason, first time ever in the country, everybody's excited about that, even though it doesn't really mean much, but it's fun.
Yeah.
And then, right on the heels of that.
You scrimmage Gonzaga. You scrimmage Gonzaga.
I don't think that went very well. But besides that, that's a different story. And then we find out Josh Langford, who's one of the nice people on the planet.
Yes.
He lost most of last season with a foot thing, and the hope was he could play November, December, be at full strength in January, and now he's just been shut down till January. So he's looking at missing a whole season, and that's really tough for one of just for a good guy.
Yeah, sometimes this is difficult to explain, I think, sometimes to fans. Because obviously, looking from a fan's point of view, like, oh, Josh Langford, he can shoot, he can play, he can run the whole thing. But what happens is that you end up developing a personal side because you're around them enough and you just feel badly for the guy and don't really think about the team.
Right. And with Josh, this is a true story. I've never heard anybody say this to me before. When he went down last December, nobody knew how bad it was or could be. And so you feel, he was, we're having a shoot around before one of the games, against somebody in December. But anyway, we're standing at the baseline, and I just said, Josh, I feel so bad for you. And, some people have faith and they live it. He's one of those people.
Yeah.
He says, God's got my back. I'm fine. Don't worry. And he made me feel better.
Right.
And so he has strong faith. And our ops guy, David Thomas, said, if this was going to happen to anybody, he's the best one because he's 21 years old and he might as well be 40. So
right.
It's something.
David Thomas is a good player in his own right when he played, too.
So, oh, yeah, pretty good. He was pretty good.
He was a pretty good ball player himself when he played. So if anybody can relate, it's David.
Yep.
All right, the football part of it. The defense got gashed, obviously, by Ohio State and by Wisconsin. But in reality, is part of the responsibility the defense being on the field too long because the offense has not been consistent enough. Is that fair?
Oh, Steve, that's more than fair. And I'm of the belief that, when you guys go to Columbus, that's probably going to be the game. I know there's a title game after that, but I think that's going to be the game. And what we discovered with the defense at Michigan State is that, now keep in mind, after MSU, played you guys last year when the rookie got hurt, in essence, that ended his season and Felton Davis' season and, in essence, the Michigan State season. So that defense played a lot of minutes after you last saw us live. And then they had about a bad five-minute stretch against Ohio State where MSU got outscored like 17-3, and that was ball game. But they're just out there way too long. And it's just, you could see something was off at the very beginning of the Wisconsin game. And you can't have a defense out there over 40 minutes a game. It's just not going to work. And then there's that other part where even D'Antonio talked about this. We all need something good to happen, just to spark us,
yes,
a little bit of hope. And there's none of that. And I think it just took its toll.
It's interesting you bring that up because I watched last night the defense against the Wisconsin offense. I'll be honest with you. I thought for a good chunk of what I was watching, the Michigan State defense, I thought played them really well. I just thought in the second half they got tired.
Oh, yeah. And then it sounds funny, but you do have to score to win, right?
Yeah.
That's a little right. Part of this game.
That's a prerequisite, yeah.
Yeah, it always helps. And when it was apparent that this offense was having one of its worst days in a long time, was just not going to score. I just think it snowballed. And I don't believe that Wisconsin is 38 points better than Michigan State, but on that day, they could have been 50 points better for all I know.
Was the timing of the bye week perfect considering the circumstances?
Yes. Steve, I think so. In our little locker room show, we talk to coach, and I ask our guys, just like one player, and that was Joe Bocci, the All-American linebacker, because he's a pretty grounded individual. He said something that was kind of wrong with me a little bit. He said, we just got to get away from the building for a few days. And I think that will help them. Who knows how it translates to Saturday? I mean, this sounds funny. I really thought Michigan State matched up great with Wisconsin. I really thought it was a wonderful matchup, power on power.
Yeah. Right.
And I was looking for a tight game. And
yeah.
So now my confidence, Steve, is shaking. I don't know what to think anymore.
I want to ask you, though, about Joe Bocci. I watch him. He is a middle linebacker to me that would have been beautiful. He's terrific now, but he could have played in the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
Yes.
When you've watched him, what has he meant to what they do? Because obviously he's the focal point. And then how does it translate to the rest of the team, his leadership?
It's pretty interesting, that last part you just mentioned, his leadership. You know, he's one of those individuals who doesn't have to say a lot to anybody to get their attention. A look will do it. But there's nobody on that defense that will outwork him, probably outperform him, and care more than he does. And that's a contagious trio of elements, I think. And so I've often said, if you don't care who wins the game, you just want to watch somebody play football. Forget where the ball is. Just watch Joe Bocci play football. And I'm with you. You pick the decade, he's going to fit in there. And there's just something special about the way he goes about his business. And what's really interesting is when they come off the field, his conduct on the sideline, whether it's going good or bad, he's always, like, thinking about the next thing. He's always in motion. He's always looking at stuff. He's always ready for whatever's next. And sometimes we say players aren't engaged on a particular day or in a particular game. Right. Joe Bocci is always engaged, and he's always ready. And it's neat to get to watch him play. And like we talked about Josh Langford, well, Joe Bocci, he's kind of a grounded individual as well. And right. I joke with him. He's the kind of guy you hate. He's a great athlete. He's an All-American. He could be a model. He's got too many good things going. No one guy should have all that good stuff going. No, you're not right.
See, and the rest of us have always felt that about you. So
there you go.
We can kid each other all day. How has Brian Lewerke been, Will?
Well, this is gut check time for him, Steve. There's no question about it. He was awful, and he'd be the first to tell you. It was maybe, as a healthy player, probably the worst game he's played in Michigan State, period, that game against Wisconsin. You know, it's easy to criticize play calls or coordinators. That's sometimes the easy cheap shot.
Sure.
But we get, obviously from the press box, we get a nice advantage of seeing the plays unfold from up a little bit. And, there's a lot of receivers running open and the ball doesn't get there and some awful throws. And so I think for him as an individual, and he's a prideful guy, why not? He's a competitor. He's going to have to really sort of, just look within and say, okay, I'm much better than this. And it's about time. I think in his heart and soul he wants to show it. And the neat thing about, you guys rolling into town, if he wants to see how he measures up against a great team, well, here's a shot. Because if we were to play Louisiana State Tech U or something, and he throws for 400 yards, who cares? How's he going to do against a top 10 team? And I think he cares as much as anybody.
Right, and I understand that completely. There have been five players in the last 3 weeks that have entered the transfer portal for Michigan State. And let's start with this premise so everyone understands. That all of them were passed out on the depth chart by somebody else. Right?
Right.
So, do you think that led to Joe Bocci's comment about getting out of the facility for a little bit?
Could be. It could be, Steve. And it's interesting. A lot of programs lose players in the offseason. This is coming in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
And only one of those people that have entered the portal, I was a little surprised on that, is Hayworth, because while he's not a speedy running back per se, he's a heck of a football player, there are spots for him on this MSU football team.
Agreed, yes.
But the rest of the players, they weren't going to play.
Right.
And some of them just like being here, and they're getting a great education, and these are all good things. But at the end of the day, a couple of these guys who are on the portal, unless they're looking at a Division II school, I don't know where they're going to play. The optics are not good. Your offense is struggling, and most of those guys play on the offensive side of the ball. So I know what it looks like. But at the end of the day, it may be a rallying call to say, look, you don't want to be here. That's okay, the voluntary thing you're doing. And so the guys who stay, maybe they'll get a little more resolve. I don't know. You just don't know unless you're inside that building every like every day and see what really goes on. But it looks a lot worse than it is, and who knows? Maybe it'll bring people together, but it won't affect anything that happens Saturday.
No, not in the least. There's something to bring up because that's the new college football right there. Guys are redshirting after four games. Guys are entering the transfer portal. That's the new college football world. What's been your thought on seeing Penn State to this point, Will?
Well, me and you talked before the season started. And, folks, here's what Steve told me. I don't know how good these guys are going to be, but I've seen a lot of Penn State football. I've never seen a group this quick in my life. Am I close on that?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Well, you're right.
It's about time.
And so, you're on a roll today. But you take that speed, and now all of a sudden it's gelling. You can see it gel. You see it all the time.
Sure.
They're making plays. They're not like quick people, but they're becoming very efficient with that speed. The thing is, it strikes me about Penn State, you better play sound, because you guys just strike me as one of those teams that if you just off a little bit, boom, big play.
Yeah.
And knowing that the Michigan's had offense doesn't have a lot of big play potential, you got to keep the game tight, right? You got to keep it tight. So I don't know. I just really like the Penn State team, and I do believe, as I put out all my little pieces of paper, I would like it'd be hard for anybody to convince me as I look at what I know that's happened so far that the two best teams in this league aren't Ohio State and Michigan State. I mean, I'm Michigan State but Penn State.
Yeah. Well, I think
and I'm not saying that MSU can't win Saturday.
No, of course not.
I know.
Right.
At the moment.
I think I'm supposed to be with you Friday morning. I think.
Yes.
At 7:15 or something like that. So
see,
that's fine.
Your deal's a lot better than our deal. It's like, I mean, this is normal for people. 7:15 is not normal, Steve. Okay. You know that.
Okay. What did I tell you when you took that thing? Go ahead. Tell them what I told you.
Okay. Get this. We all hear jokes about what's the old thing about when you buy a boat, right?
Oh, yeah, the greatest 2 days are when you buy a boat and you sell it.
Okay, so what I asked Steve about this morning thing, it's killing me. By 10 in the morning, I'm just walking in the walls. And he goes, well, you know, the happiest day of my life is when I quit doing mornings.
I said, for 21 years, Will, I said, I got up every day. And I said, I couldn't stand it. I said, good luck.
Yeah. And so I'm getting better. I look like I'm not going to fall over, but it's just I don't know how you get used to it, especially in my life. I'm kind of a late night guy.
Yeah.
This is not normal behavior.
Well, I'll be on to see if we can make it brighter and happier on Friday. And we can debate about the fact that I'm going to see you close with Maryland.
We close with Maryland.
Yeah, and Penn State closes with Rutgers, and they should close with each other. And you and I both know that.
And you know what? And that's a big topic around here.
You darn right. I've tried to make it a big topic around here too.
And Coach D he's in the front of that conversation.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're the Big Ten, think about how cool it would be. And I know the Michigan Ohio State thing's been a little lopsided, but it still has marquee value.
Sure.
So if you want to do that at noon, then follow that up with, you know, Michigan State and Penn State. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, now you're keeping the audience.
Oh, you own the day.
Yes.
Well, I think a lot of people can't wait to see Penn State play Rutgers. It's going to be
okay,
huge.
Well, I'll talk to you Friday. I'm sure they're just buying tickets and droves for Michigan State, Maryland. So it's like,
oh man, get them quick before they're all gone.
Oh my goodness! I mean, you've got everything the way. I know I'm running over here, but okay, you've got Michigan, Ohio State, given.
Yep.
Penn State, Michigan State, the two newbies, Rutgers and Maryland, can play each other. You already got Indiana playing Purdue. The Friday game, Iowa and Nebraska. Wisconsin, Minnesota, Illinois, Northwestern. Okay, now what else do you want for your final weekend?
nothing. Steve, it's common sense and it's flawless. It would be a great way to wrap up the regular season. And there's something there for everybody. And you know, even if your season's a little sideways, if you're playing a rival type game, you want to end it. Let's take Northwestern Illinois.
Yeah.
If Northwestern can wrap up their season and beat Illinois, at least they did something.
Absolutely.
And Indiana, what if they need to beat Purdue to get the number 6? How cool would that be?
Yeah, exactly. I thought that Penn State-Michigan State game, which starting in 1993, I felt had really gained some legit traction. The only good thing is I get to be in East Lansing in October.
And I feel the same way about Happy Valley. That's a really cold place in November, but you know that.
Well, that's what. Years ago, I was doing football. It was Thanksgiving weekend, and it was for whatever reason. Will, it was 60 degrees that day, and
Are
I said
serious?
To somebody, yeah. And I said to somebody in the press box, says, "Wow, this is the nicest day I've ever seen out here." And the guy started laughing. I said, "You don't understand. I'm here in Thanksgiving and in February." And he looked at me and he said, "This is the nicest day you've ever seen here."
He's right. I often wondered if we ever won in Happy Valley, would it not be as cold? And so when we finally won, and it was a meaningful win, it was still cold, Steve.
Yeah, no.
I was happier, that's all.
Yeah, it's like, exactly right. Will, I will see you, my good friend, Saturday. I will talk to you Friday.
Okay, sounds good, Steve.
Will Thiemann, Michigan State Network. All right, tomorrow, 3:30, the kick. We're on beginning at 2 o'clock. Don't forget high school football tonight. Shikellamy and Milton at 7 o'clock, 6:30 the airtime here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Today's show has been brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Great to have you with us in the Sunbury Motor Studio on News Radio 1070 WKOK.